Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes as well. It is February 2nd. My sister's birthday is today, so happy birthday, sis.
Happy birthday.
I should have had some music ready, I guess, but happy birthday, sis.
You let her down, John.
I know.
You let her down. So. You know, I got to ask you, what happened to the first month of 2021?
Gone. Vanished.
I cannot believe this. We've been terrified of 2021 forever. Everybody has been. It comes, a month is gone.
Poof. Yep. Phil, by the way, did not see his shadow today.
No.
Don't think that matters, but...
I think, he was wearing his mask over his eyes.
Oh, was he? Good,
yeah,
good,
so,
good.
Maybe that's why. It made it a little harder, but...
Could be why.
He didn't sense his shadow.
If we base the entire... You know, what we do weather-wise off of a rodent, we're in trouble. Just saying.
There's worse.
Just saying. All right, the impossible question yesterday, okay. Which, by the way, I got right. 10% of football fans will do this in the next couple of weeks to get ready for the big game, which, by the way, the big game is the Super Bowl. What is it? And the answer is buy a new team jersey. I said, get their, garb on is what I said. Andy said TV, though. Good answer. I think it's higher than 10%, though, Andy.
Well, I've known people who upgraded their TV because the Super Bowl was coming.
I think it's more than 10. I'd be surprised if it's not.
And I went to Best Buy one time, and I was talking to one of the salesmen, and they said this is a time of year.
Oh, it's big.
They get the sales roll in on the big, big TVs.
Yes, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yes, agree. All right, today's impossible question. Answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. The average person will spend 39 hours this year, so basically a working week of their time. If you have a part-time job, that is, staring at the inside of this. Here's the ideas. Car, book, building, drinking cup. The average person will spend 39 hours this year staring at the inside of this.
39 hours.
39 hours.
That's not much.
No, it's not a ton.
Scattered over.
So you have to figure out there's a few seconds here, a few seconds
there. It's not going to be the bathroom door.
Charlie.
It's not going to be...
Ooh, Charlie says watching the microwave operate.
39 hours in a year of watching the mic operate?
Well, if you think about it, like in me in the morning, I'm waiting for my, whatever you're heating up. I heat some cream, that I put in my coffee. So it's usually 55 seconds, and I will typically sit there for 55 seconds and watch it turn.
Do you really?
Yeah.
See, I hit it, and I go and do other things.
What else am I going to do? It's 55 seconds.
There's lots of things to do, John.
Like?
You're wasting your life
away. 55 seconds.
No wonder you're not productive.
So I guess if you added 55 seconds a day, Charlie, I probably am wasting 39 hours looking inside the microwave.
I'm glad we get you here in the studio so you can get away from your microwave. You guys are getting too close.
Andy, I do it because I get the radiation form.
That's why you don't need the COVID
shot. That's right, because it's pouring in automatically from the microwave.
I have no clue.
Frying my brain as I'm watching.
Looking inside, I'm going to say the fridge.
Ooh, Andy, good answer, by the way.
There you go.
Good answer.
There you go.
That's a good one. The fridge. Okay, answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page.
I actually go inside and shut it to see if that light actually goes off.
Does it?
Yes. But then Corey didn't let me out
and
for
you're
two
in the dark?
Hours. Yeah.
Back
it was
in,
scary.
That was a big deal back in the day and why they started putting locks on freezers and things like that, because kids would get locked in them, not get out, and die.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was true. That's a true
story.
That's
terrible.
Right, Charlie? Yeah, they'd lock shut before. When they had an actual lever on the outside,
they'd lock shut
with a kid inside, and they'd suffocate and die.
That's terrible.
Yes, and that's why those hard latching ones even started putting locks on the freezer where a kid couldn't even open the door. A true story.
Wow. did not know that.
You didn't know that? Yeah.
Well, no, it just never occurred to me. Yeah, when I was a kid, I was pretty bright.
Kind of one of those safety things that... Okay, same reason, I guess. This one I never have been able to figure out, because you won't die inside of one anyways. But, you know, now inside of every trunk of every car, there's a glow-in-the-dark pull handle to open the trunk.
I did not know that.
Yes. You didn't know that?
So what does the mob do?
They don't put you in that trunk, I guess.
I know. Where are they going to put you? Are they going to get like tractor trailers?
Maybe they
and
cut
put
the cable
the
off or something. I don't know. Yeah, anything that's not, you know, like an SUV, but anything that's closed with a trunk, there's a little glow-in-the-dark T-handle.
I could just imagine this. So they put me in the trunk, and the guy pulls out the knife, and I'm terrified, and he cuts that cable. So I can't turn on the light.
If it's funny today, some of the bloopers on TV today are where they stick somebody in a trunk and they can't get out. It's like, well, just go pull the glow-in-the-dark candle, you knucklehead. I mean, they've been doing that now for years. No joke. There's just not a lot of cars with trunks. That's probably why you probably didn't know, because you probably haven't had a car with a trunk for a while. A sedan with a trunk?
I haven't had a sedan for a few years, no.
You wouldn't see that.
And I also, you know, haven't been in the mob for several. Yeah, you know, I've been busy.
Mob always puts them in the trunk, don't they?
I know, they always put them in the trunk.
You open it up and there's the guy, the dead guy, or the guy tied up, or the guy duct taped, or whatever. Always in the trunk. By the way, getting in and out of a trunk's not easy.
It isn't.
No, it's not.
But now it is, because you got the little latch.
Well, getting out is, yes. I mean, physically getting in and out is not as easy as you think.
No. Not as we get older, John.
I've actually, you know, being a, you know, auto technician all those years, I actually have been in a few trunks, and yeah.
When you were a kid, did you like riding in the back of the truck and the trunk?
Oh, yes.
And this kind of stuff?
Oh, yes. All that. Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Why?
Package tray, all that.
Why is that? Is it just because your parents aren't there? I mean, they're up front. They're not in total control of you.
Back then, you just climbed in wherever you could. You got in the car and rode wherever you wanted to ride. Didn't
Tailpipe.
Matter. It was awesome.
If you were really small.
Roof of the car. I mean.
Roof of the car.
I mean, think about that. I mean, by the way, your famous Packer quarterback was caught in the back of a truck the other day with a six-pack of Bud Light.
Hey, can you blame him?
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
It was actually pretty funny.
I thought it was funny. Why not?
It was great. He was you know, waving to the fans, all that. It was great. It was hilarious.
He was having fun. And by the way, I think he needs more than a six-pack after that game.
All right.
We all got to cope, John.
We have a new COVID chart Andy and I will talk about in a moment. And a couple other things, too. Mark Mix is going to join us at 3:30. National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. Mark's always a great guest. We'll have him on this hour as well. Next hour. Mish Schneider will join us. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on with, you know, the trading on Wall Street and what these day traders are doing. Still a big story. We'll talk about that. And then I want to spend some time in the second hour, Andy, just talking about climate change, XL Energy, Focus on the Family, some things like that. And then, of course, John Zmarek and Liz Merrill join us in the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, but do you think the planet's going to be there by the second hour?
It's hard to say. If you're a lefty, you might not know.
I know.
It's hard to tell. Lefties are worried about it just ending tomorrow. Okay, so here's a question for you.
Go ahead.
In preparation for that.
Yeah.
If the lefties who think the world's going to end tomorrow, why are they so big on pushing this quote-unquote vaccine, which really isn't a vaccine but gene therapy? If the world's going to end anyways, why does it matter?
Because they don't believe the world's going to end tomorrow.
Why do we all need masks, Andy?
Because they want you controlled. It's that simple. They
but
look
the
around.
It's ending in their eyes.
Remember, I've always said that leftists, they wake up in the morning wanting to control people around them, make them live the way they want to make them live, dance, puppets, dance. And for leftists, I'm telling you, man, I have never seen anything like this, John. The thrill in their eyes at seeing a sea of masks at Costco.
They love it.
Oh, my gosh.
They love it.
They are euphoric.
Yep.
They never, ever want this to end.
No, and they're going to do everything possible to make sure that it doesn't, by the way.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that plus a lot more. Extreme Auto Repair coming up next. And much like we talked about the trunk of your car and, you know, me being a technician and working on things and so on, I also know at Extreme Auto Repair they'll take care of you. They've got a fantastic facility to do all of that, 20-plus service bays plus a complete towing center, you know, tow trucks as well to make that part of it easier as well. Don't forget to ask about the Cooper tires they sell you at cost plus anything else you need for your vehicle. It's all there, and you can get an estimate online right off the website. Find them at klzradio.com or call direct 303-841-1071.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair and Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
All right, Bruce Simmons, he is our reverse mortgage specialist. And I don't say that lightly. This is all Bruce does. He's not a mortgage broker that does all sorts of other things. At American Liberty Mortgage, all he does is reverse mortgages. So it's easy. Give him a call. If you're 62 years of age or older and you've ever thought about one, get the skinny from him. Don't rely on somebody else to tell you. 303-467-7821 or find him again at klzradio.com.
Bruce Simmons makes a potentially complicated loan program easy to understand. Reverse mortgages make a lot more sense when you see how the numbers apply to you. KLZ's Bruce Simmons explains the most confusing aspects of a reverse mortgage in simple language so that you not only understand the loan yourself, but you can also explain the basics to other interested parties. Most likely, you want to involve your financial planner and maybe some of your family members in the decision-making process. For every client, Bruce Simmons creates a personalized video that you can share with your kids, parents, financial advisor, or the skeptical neighbor who still thinks the bank will take your house. He'll show you how a reverse mortgage could enable you to tap into a portion of the value of your home, providing a source of guaranteed tax-free income for as long as you live in the house. Find Bruce Simmons of American Liberty Mortgage now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
God. Country. Reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Also, I meant to mention this in the opening, Jeff Bezos, who has been CEO of Amazon, is now stepping down. Somebody else will take over that position. And, you know, those are the things that happen in the lives of billionaires.
Yeah, I turned it down, by the way.
They didn't ask you? Or you just turned it down?
I just turned it down. Well, I didn't even want to put them in the awkward position of having to ask me, so I sent a letter and told them no.
Good for you.
It's because I care, John.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you do.
Okay.
He will now become the executive chairman of Amazon. Andy Jassy, currently the CEO of Amazon's cloud computing wing, will replace Bezos now as CEO. Mark in Denver, what's going on?
That's Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, I'm sorry I didn't get that position.
Yeah, me too.
My application got rejected. Sorry about that.
Got it.
It's not it's not what you know, Mark. It's who you know.
That's right.
I know, but I'm not capable of running that situation. I could probably run Whole Foods. I'm an ex-food scientist, so I could do that.
You can do that, sure.
John, I've not been able to rest since your comments, and I should have saved this for Saturday, over the electric cars. And the infrastructure of China on the raw materials, as you're talking about. And I want to just ask one question. What is pushing these auto manufacturers and electric cars? What's pushing them into this?
The left. The greenies.
Literally.
I mean that with all sincerity, Mike. Mark, I'm not just saying that because, you know, I'm a conservative and this is a conservative show. I mean, literally, I think the facts will speak for themselves. It's the greenies that are, you know, running the companies. It's the greenies that are sitting on the boards. It's some of the greenie shareholders. It's just this whole movement that direction. And I've been, you know, kindly going back and forth with the listener from Saturday. I'm glad you brought it up, by the way. I've been kindly going back and forth with the listener, you know, talking about this very subject. And, you know, he appreciated all my comments as well, but then, you know, kind of went down the path of, well, you know, the only way we're going to make this work is we need more solar farms. We need more wind. We need more of this. I'm like, no, frankly, that's not going to help us either. In fact, if you really want to help save the planet, drive what you own as long as you possibly can, because any new car you're buying, if you think for any second you're buying a new car and saving the planet, you're a fool. So let's get that right out there in the open right off the bat. Mark, you know exactly what I mean by that. So any of these car companies talking about saving the world with a different form of power plant, these people have literally, Mark, lost their minds.
So I go up to Belgrade, Montana to hunt pheasant. And where am I going to find an electrical station up there on the east side of Montana?
you probably won't, unless, again, like I said, Saturday, the infrastructure to even make this plausible for, you know, for General Motors to come out and say by 2035 we're going to do all electric vehicles. I mean, then they better start writing the checks and getting more infrastructure put in, because right now I can tell you from driving an electric car, there's not enough.
Do you think Mary's going to still be there at that point in time? Or is electric? No, she won't be.
No, she won't be. In fact, that's where a lot of this, by the way, Mark, and thank you for bringing that up. A lot of this is publicity in today's world to raise stock prices. That's literally all this is about. Will they switch over completely by 2035 to electric vehicles? You know what? That'll be on somebody else's watch by then, so who knows?
Well, again, you bothered me about this whole thing, China owning all the raw materials. And yet we're putting ourselves in a situation to get killed.
So
yeah, I've been saying that for years, China owns everything that makes these things.
So let's add one more layer to who's pushing this, Mark. Besides the greenies and the lefties, I will tell you that I believe it's the Chi-Coms. Who benefits the most? If we convert the entire U.S. fleet, you know, new cars being sold, not current, but, you know, the entire new car fleet of vehicles that we sell, all 17 roughly or 16 million cars a year, if we convert all those to electric, who benefits the most, Mark?
I don't need to answer that question, do I?
No, you do not. And that therein lies who's pushing this. There's your answer. It's always follow the money. This isn't complicated.
Yeah, for crying out loud, you're talking about a nation that basically owns our president. They have cornered the world market on rare earth minerals that make the batteries, that make so many of the components.
Right.
And now our president is pushing everybody to use their product.
Right. And including he's got the CEOs in his back pocket, i.e. Mary Barra.
I don't understand why somebody's not smart enough like you are to figure this all out.
Well, Mark, here's my own belief on that. They are. They're just not going to tell you what the real answer is as to why they're doing this. They're going to cloak it in all sorts of other feel-good measures that they think sell well to the public that then boost stock prices up. That's really what it's all about. These guys know darn good and well what's going on. They know who's pulling the strings. They won't tell you that publicly.
Well, that's the question. It's the stock market.
It really, that's, if you really want to get down, you know, several factors here. China, the left, and of course the stock market. Yes, all of those three combined. That's why Mary made that announcement. Plain and simple.
I guess I have to let it rest because it is what it is.
Yeah, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how some of this actually, you know, shakes out. And what really would be interesting to see, Mark, is if the free market's allowed to operate correctly, and if folks like Ford, GM, we'll see what Toyota does being the biggest producer. I mean, we've already heard Volvo and others out there talking about this same thing. It'd be interesting to see if they all make that shift. Will another car company come along that says, wait a minute, time out. We think the old, you know, good old gasoline power plant still works as well as anything. We're still going to run down that path. And by the way, may have very good success in selling them. If they allow the free market to do its job, that's exactly what will happen, Mark.
Well, I've talked to you before. I own a 2003 Tahoe and a 2018. The 2018 Tahoe has cheaper seats than the 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Save fuel, save gas. I'm okay with all that. But, the electric Tahoe, not in my lifetime.
It'd be interesting to see how the new Hummer, you know, as it comes out, what it will be like. The biggest issue I see, Mark, is while all this is great, and you know me, I love technology, and I only own an electric car, so I can talk about the things that I feel like we talk about here, educated, you know, where honestly, there's very few people out there in the journalistic world, even talk show world, that can even talk about electric cars the same way I can, because most of them don't even own one, have no idea how they work, don't understand infrastructure. They don't have a clue. They're just talking about, you know, bullet points they get from whatever gets sent to them, and that's what they use to talk about when it comes to electric cars. You know, I love technology, but the biggest thing, too, that none of these guys are addressing right now, we're already sitting at $40,000 average price for a new car. You start doing the electrification, you just added another $10,000 to that vehicle. Who's going to buy
it? Wait a minute. Where's the infrastructure to support all these electric cars?
Right now, it doesn't exist.
Well, and let me jump in here. The infrastructure, where's the electricity? Do you realize how much electricity it's going to take to take care of all those
Saturday.
Cars?
Were you listening Saturday?
No.
For everybody that maybe is joining us today that didn't hear this on Saturday, Mark, you did. Andy, you didn't. So I'll say it for everybody.
Yeah, go ahead.
I did the math on the kilowatt usage of my Chevy Bolt. I drive about, 15,000 miles a year or so, roughly. So, Mark, I said this Saturday, I'll say it again today. My usage, my electric use for that one vehicle alone, Andy, on the average median electric use per household across the country, I'm using 75% of an average monthly household use on one vehicle.
Right. So you've got now 1.7 homes worth of electricity that you are using. Most of the electricity comes from coal. You can generate it with natural gas, of course.
Right.
But I got news for these people. The only way, because wind and solar, no way, it's not going to do it.
No.
The only way you can do it without oil and natural gas and coal is nuclear.
It's nuclear, and they're not going to do that either.
Tons of nuclear.
Right. Great top, Mark. Thank you. I appreciate you bringing this up. I didn't really plan on this today as a topic, but it's perfect timing.
And
so thank you.
I wanted to wait until Saturday, but I couldn't.
No, you're fine.
After that, it bothered me a lot what you said.
For all of you listening, by the way, if you want to go back and hear that particular show, you can listen to that on the podcast. Just go to drive-radio.com. You can find it there. It's easy. Mark, I am, and Charlie suggested this on Saturday, I'm going to put together here in the not-too-distant future probably a full three-hour show where we do nothing but talk about that. That alone, people can call in, ask questions. I'll let you guys know when we're going to do that in the coming weeks here.
And I'm sorry I had to bring it up today.
No, you're fine. It's perfect.
That discussion bothered me from Saturday. I'm going, why all these car companies are pushing these electric cars, and all these people are going, oh, this is great, an electric car, I can save fuel. Yeah, right.
Yep, they're not factoring in all of the other things that go into it, like I talked about Saturday. Mark, I got to run. Thank you very much. I don't apologize for bringing that up. It's a perfect topic for today. David and Bertha, you're up, sir.
Hey, John, I'm going to dovetail into what the last caller was just saying. Did you, when you talked about that, the electric cars on Saturday, did you see that article? It was entitled, Toyota CEO Agrees with Elon Musk. We don't have enough electricity to electrify all our cars.
I did not see that, but he's right.
It is. And I'm going to give an analogy here that is facing a small sector of unrelated, but it kind of relates to it a little bit. Xfinity has found themselves in a predicament, is that they don't have enough throughput with all the internet connections because of everyone working from home now. And it's due to circumstances of everybody working from home now instead of in their offices, and that they don't have enough bandwidth because they keep running into problems. Don't know what that looks like in the future, but I'm just thinking
right
about that in the case of the electric cars. Boulder is going to be a wonderful microcosm of, let's see how this plays out, because they are trying to be all green.
That's
and
right.
I don't know currently what they're doing, but if tomorrow they said, okay, by the year 2022, everybody that lives in Boulder, you have to have an electric car or you cannot own a gas-powered car, or you're going to pay this exorbitant amount of
tax, basically.
There you go. To own it. And they would bring their grid, if they really do manage it themselves, which I don't see that happening, full proof. If they tried to do it, everybody that plugs in those cars.
Done.
Yep. a little smoke cloud.
Yeah, David, I did look up the article that you were talking about, and I apologize. I don't know why I didn't see that before. I should have. Headline reads, Wall Street Journal, Toyota's chief says electric vehicles are overhyped. He said converting entirely to EVs could cost hundreds of billions of dollars and make cars unaffordable for the average people. He's
absolutely
right. And by the way, he's right. So it's amazing that the head of Toyota agrees with me.
By the way, can I throw something in here?
Go ahead.
You know, David, you're talking about the grid up in Boulder, if they were to go that way. Well, if you've got a governor like Polis, who is going to pay to equip Boulder and to help Boulder and to provide a lot of the electricity for Boulder to do that?
You.
I'll tell you who. Bertha.
You. And Andy and Aurora.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And a case in point, too, I'm going to throw something in here that's a monkey wrench for the solar, is when we have heavy snow and they don't calculate into the equation, oh, we need to go clean the snow off these, or we don't have motors that can tilt them up at 180 degrees,
right,
perpendicular to the grade to make the snow come off. it's no value to anyone.
This guy, by the way, real quick, this guy went on to say that Japan would run out of electricity in the summer if all cars are running on electric power. The infrastructure needed to support a fleet of consisting of entirely EVs would cost Japan between $14 trillion and $37 trillion, the equivalent of $135 billion to $358 billion U.S. dollars. Quote, when politicians are out there saying, let's get rid of cars using gasoline, do they understand this? Question mark. He said Thursday at a year-end news conference in his capacity as chairman of Japan Automotive Manufacturers Association. He said, if Japan is too hasty in banning gasoline-powered cars, the current business model of the car industry is going to collapse, causing the loss of millions of jobs. And by the way, folks, that's not just in Japan. That would be worldwide.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't know. It's not rocket science, but John, as you said, common sense isn't common so much anymore.
No, it's gone. It left the building.
It's gone. And what you said earlier, both of y'all, Andy included, on is that with all the greenies that are entering in the higher ranks, I'm equating it to the '60s being reinvented to the green sense, if you want to call it that, but. I don't want to say it, but it's not my problem. It is my problem, but I don't know if I'll be around to see the end results of it. It's just going to be crazy.
Yep.
And
agree.
But anyway, right now with all the reinvention, and I just caught this right when I tuned in the broadcast late, but with everything that's going on, we're being stressed in ways we didn't predict. And it goes with the electric grid, buildings aren't going to be as fully operative as they have been. But let's see what happens. I don't know. Anyway, continue with the program. Love you guys.
I appreciate it. David, thank you. No, well said. Guys, thank you. Mark, thanks for bringing that up. It's amazing that I think Mark was reading my mind. I've been going back and forth with a few listeners here on what happened on Saturday's program in regards to, EV vehicles and so on,
right.
Which I, by the way, didn't expect to get that type of response out of what we even did Saturday.
What
so
were
it's
people
amazing.
Basically thinking?
Saturday was really, and for those of you that don't listen to us on Saturdays, I would encourage you to do so. If you drive a vehicle, listen to us. I will help you save money, make your vehicle last longer, all of that combined. Yeah, we sometimes get into some technical stuff, but typically I keep it pretty light and we have a lot of fun. We get a lot of questions answered and so on. And on Saturday, it's really educational, and that's the way it was this past week, Andy, I was able to really educate folks a lot on what it really is like to own and drive and operate an electric vehicle, because most people have no idea, how does it charge? Where do you charge it? How does it work if you're out and about and you need to charge it? Is there an app? Do you use a credit card? All those different things I answered on Saturday.
Hey, the vehicles are great. There's nothing wrong with electric vehicles, John. What's wrong is the subsidies, the massive subsidies
that
people
we're
are
promoting
pouring
them.
Into. Right.
Those two things. So you're right. The subsidies, which I'll get into later maybe on how that even works. There's a lot of misconception even there. On top of that, though, Andy, we're pushing these things. This is like the snake oil salesman of old, the way the greenies are pushing electric vehicles. They are so wrong in the way they're pushing these things. It's not even close to accurate in what they're doing and describing when it comes to the popularization, if you would, of electric vehicles. They're totally wrong in how they're doing this.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Completely wrong. And I can say that owning one.
Yeah.
So we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. We do have Mark Mix from we're going to talk unions. Let's just say that. We'll talk about unions here in a minute. Don't go anywhere. Franktown Firearms is coming up next. And they will be joining us here in the near future, give us some updates on what's going on at Franktown when it comes to inventory on guns, inventory on ammo, the training aspect, and all of that. But let me tell you what, it's all one-stop shopping at Franktown Firearms. Find them today at klzradio.com or 720-770-7777.
You're shooting on the range at Franktown Firearms, and something goes wrong with your gun. A jammed round. Maybe you're having trouble picking up your sights. So you walk on over to the gunsmithing department at the back of the store, and one of the gunsmiths on staff takes a look at your firearm. A few minutes later, you're back to firing on the range with a functional gun. Because they've earned the designation Stocking Dealer for Glock and Sig Sauer, as well as Master Dealer for Ruger and Smith & Wesson, Franktown Firearms has more guns in stock. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, they consistently bring in ammo so it's available for you to practice on the range. If it's not in stock, rest assured more will be inbound soon. And as a shooting range with a full-service gunsmithing department on site, Franktown Firearms has the capacity to get your gun back faster. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
All right, up next, we have Golden Eagle Financial. Al Smith would love to help you with your future financial planning. And boy, right now, folks, if there's ever a time where we all need to look at that and plan accordingly, it's now. Make sure that you've got everything protected, that you're looking at things correctly, and you know exactly the direction you need to go and get there and stay there. 303-744-1128 is Al's number, or, again, find him at klzradio.com.
Your retirement plan doesn't need to be complicated. Al Smith doesn't use fancy software to create 20-page reports full of charts and graphs. Instead, he meets you with his 15 years of experience, a calculator, and some basic information about the money you've already saved. He wants you to walk away from that first meeting feeling confident instead of confused. At Golden Eagle Financial, Al believes your foundational retirement plan should be simple. Look at how much money you have now. Estimate how much your investments are likely to grow over the next few years, and decide how you want to pull that money out so it lasts as long as you need it to. Then, once you have your fundamental retirement plan in place, Al will talk to you about planning ahead for unforeseen events. Schedule a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial now and take the mystery out of retirement planning. KLZradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Susan at Premier Manufacturing says, "In the 2+ years I've been with Premier Manufacturing, my interaction with BES has been nothing but positive. When we have a service issue, they do their best to have someone sent out that same day, and the service people have always been friendly, efficient, and professional." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. We'll get Mark on the phone with us here in a moment. Mark Mix. In the meantime, I want to make sure everybody understands this, and Andy and I were just talking a little bit there at the break. I'm not against electric vehicles. What I'm against is the way they're being propagated and sold. Really, I think they're being sold. Most people are being sold a bill of goods on electric vehicles and the quote unquote benefits of. The majority of people that are actually promoting these things have never even been inside of one.
The only clean way to produce anything near the grid we'd need to take care of that many vehicles is through natural gas and nuclear.
And or nuclear, combination of the two.
Right. Mm-hmm. Both of which the left opposes. So how are you going to do it?
Which, even if we started building, let me think about this for a second. I've interviewed folks from the nuclear energy end of things before, and even if we started today, Andy, I think we would be hard-pressed to even get everything online in 15 years
or
14 years that Mary Barra is talking about having GM sell all electric vehicles. There's no way we could meet that timeline even in the grid.
Well, here's the big problem for them also for their marketing of it. The best thing, of course, is natural gas. But what brought about the natural gas revolution in America? Fracking. Fracking
Trump.
Trump and fracking is the reason America has lowered its greenhouse gases so dramatically, especially compared to Europe and some of these other nations. I mean, it's all because of fracking and natural gas and converting from coal to natural gas.
And what did Biden just do? He's turning that spigot off, or he's trying to.
Right. The very thing that's made us cleaner.
Going to try to do everything possible to turn that spigot off.
Right. And by the way, coal is burning much more cleanly than it used to.
Oh, way cleaner. I didn't talk about that yet. But yes, any of the coal plants that are still operating with the scrubbers and the things that they've actually put on them now and the clean coal that we've got and the way they've got the ability to add different things into the coal to make it burn much cleaner than it was before, Yeah, folks, there's so much there that literally Andy and I could take a whole day and talk about this.
We could, and we do that here in America. They're not burning it that clean in China, by the way.
No, amazingly enough. Mark Mix joining us now, National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. Mark, welcome back. Rush to Reason. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, John. Great, Andy. I hope you guys are doing well.
Always a joy to have you. We really appreciate it. All right, talk to us about the first week or so of President Biden's initial stint and what he's done in regards to our labor side of the fence, which, by the way, he's not started off on a great foot so far.
Well, let me back up and just talk about the first 23 minutes, because that's how long it took for him
sure.
to take
Let's do
his
that.
First action.
That works.
Yeah, the first 23 minutes, he did something that was unprecedented in American labor law history, and that was request that the general counsel, the top lawyer at the National Labor Relations Board, either resign or be fired by 5 o'clock. And the general counsel at that time sent a letter back to the White House saying he didn't think that was a good idea, that this was an independent agency and firing the top lawyer would set a dangerous precedent. But at 5 o'clock, Peter Robb, the general counsel under President Trump, with 10 months left on his term, was fired. The next morning, his acting general counsel, that was his deputy, received the same email saying that if she didn't resign by 5 o'clock the next day, she would be fired. And so at 5 o'clock the next day, she was fired. And then the president has looked out to Chicago, that bastion of legal justice and certainty, and asked for the regional director there to come back and run the lawyer's office at the National Labor Relations Board. And then, just in the last 2 days, this general counsel has rescinded at least 10 memorandums put forth by the acting general counsel previously, two of them which are directly related to cases we're representing employees, and basically saying that there's a new sheriff in town and big labor, the union bosses who helped put Joe Biden in the White House, mm-hmm. notwithstanding rank and file workers who are out of work today because of Joe Biden's in the White House, are going to be paid back for their support.
All right, so I already know where you guys stand. I guess bring us up to date with some of these lawsuits and things that you guys are representing. Is there any chance now of you guys even getting these things to go forward? Where do the employees stand? How does this work moving forward, Mark?
Yeah, well, probably the most onerous of the memos that this guy rescinded was he involved in a case that was going to go to trial in 2 weeks in February up in Seattle, Washington. We were representing a bunch of housekeepers at an Embassy Suites hotel up there where the union got the employer to sign a neutrality agreement, which is the idea that they would stay, quote, silent over unionization, and that the union would go out and try to collect cards from these housekeepers who did not want to join the union. But the employer ended up giving the names and addresses and the shifts and the contact information for all these employees, gave the union a place in the hotel to do this. And we believe that the general counsel, the previous general counsel, had basically said that it's really improper for the employer to play a role this mm-hmm. way, because if the employer was to do this in a decertification election, the idea of getting rid of a union,
right.
all of this would be an unfair labor practice. They would be prosecuted and they would be found guilty of providing aid to unions. But when it comes to the union forcing workers into the union, ultimately to pay dues as a condition of keeping their jobs, this was perfectly fine. The last general counsel said, no, we should treat them the same way. If it's good on one side, it
right.
should be good on the other. And this general counsel says, no, no, no. The unions are perfectly fine to get the employer to help them, but if the employer says anything about unionization, they will be in violation of the act. So,
and all this. Really, oh, I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Andy.
And all this comes along with the fact that they're pushing card check, which takes away the secret ballot. So not only do you have no secret ballot, so they know if you vote yes or no in the union, but then they're letting the union lean on you directly to force you to sign the thing or else.
Mark, this is like a 70s mafia movie and unions gone bad.
Well, as I understand it, there's new information about the AFA assassination, too. So, all this comes together with this new administration. And boy, oh, boy, you're right. Labor policy, Joe Biden has said he wants to promote unions. He wants to promote unions. So he wants to promote unions. He said it three times in one particular speech to the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO. And sure enough, he's doing that. But what he's really promoting is collectivism. He says that the act was designed to promote collective bargaining. Well, the word collective basically eliminates the word individual. And we believe in individual freedom and individual exercise of your right to work. free of union coercion. But that's not the agenda of this White House, and it's not the agenda of this National Labor Relations Board now with this new general counsel.
Hey, Mark, do us a favor and look ahead, because a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, are thinking, well, hey, I'm not in a union. I don't have to worry about this.
Why is this a big deal?
Yeah, why is this a big deal? And by the way, what other kinds of workplaces? Well, first of all, how does this affect the free market in general? But also, how could some other workplaces become unionized? Which ones would you see being targeted? What types?
Well, Andy, there's a bill right now that passed the House of Representatives last year with 224 votes that would, first of all, eliminate all the right-to-work laws across the country. And while Colorado's not a right-to-work state, they do have a Labor Peace Act where there's an additional vote. Once the workplace is organized and unionized, there's an additional vote to get the compulsory dues structure put in place as well. That would be repealed under the PRO Act. So workers in Colorado that currently are protected by the Labor Peace Act, although it's not quite a right-to-work law, that would go away. And it would include card check unionization, Andy, that you mentioned. It would also include first contract arbitration. This is really a novel concept. It basically says that a private sector employer negotiating with a union, if they don't negotiate a contract in 90 days, the federal government will send someone to help. You know, that's one of the big lies. I'm here from Washington and I want to help.
Right.
And after 30 days, if there's no contract, the federal government, get this, Andy and John, will impose a contract on a private business for up to 2 years. That's in the bill that President Biden has indicated he supports and would sign if it made it to his desk.
Mark, I guess dumb question, as you know, being an employer myself, if we continue to go down this path, two things. One, what incentive is there for new business to get started? And number two, what happens to prices, knowing that every one of these employers will have a higher price now that they have to pay for labor after all this is said and done?
Yeah, indeed. You know, this is the manipulation of the private sector, and that's what this agenda seems to be all about, the idea of having government grow bigger and bigger and more involved in private enterprise and private business and private labor-management relationships, for that matter, and it means more cost to the consumers. I mean, it's real simple. I mean, notwithstanding the rhetoric, the emotional rhetoric on all sides of the issue, people understand that when the cost of running a business goes up, the cost of the business's goods goes up. It's
right.
Really simple. And that's what's happened here, John. I mean, that you're an employer, you know that. And most people should understand that as well. And it's the idea of empowering this private organization to give them the power to force workers to join a labor union, to pay dues to a labor union as a condition of getting employment, which is kind of the foundational rock of all this. I mean, if workers want to join unions, they can. The law protects their right to join. But a law that expands it to the point where you're forced to associate with a private organization and pay dues to get or keep a job in America, that's outrageous anywhere.
Agree. Mark, how do folks find more about what you guys have going on and even can support you in what you're doing? How do they do that?
Well, they can find us on the amazing internet at www.nrtw.org, nrtw.org. And they can find out all kinds of information about their rights, the cases we're working on, and some of these things that have happened in the first 23 minutes of the Biden administration.
Mark, it's always a joy having you. Please keep us updated. Anytime you want to come back, let me know. We'll get you right back on, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Thank
Appreciate
you.
It, Mark, very much. And I got a couple things I want to add to what Mark just said as soon as we come back. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning, is next, though. Make sure your estate is in order. It's easy. Just go to Michael today. You can talk to him on the phone, do a Zoom, you know, meeting, however you want to do it. That's how Michael does things. 720-394-6887. He is mobile. Find him at klzradio.com.
Michael Bailey removes your fear of the unknown by helping you plan ahead for unexpected scenarios. Most people have already given up their resolutions by now, but not Michael Bailey. He lives by the adage, "Those who prepare shall not fear." KLZ's mobile estate planner recently got a frantic phone call from a family whose mother had been given only 2 to 4 weeks to live. Their father had begun to lose some of his mental acuity, and they needed help now. They held a Zoom meeting with Michael Bailey on a Friday. He drew up their parents' estate plan on Saturday, and by Monday, their mother had been moved into hospice care. Without Michael's last-minute help, this family would have spent months, if not years, battling in probate court because their mother's assets would have gone to the wrong people. You don't know what the future holds, but you can prepare for uncertainty. Set up a free consultation with KLZ's mobile estate planner now at klzradio.com/estate.
All right, Purefoy Chevrolet, where you can still go buy a gasoline-powered vehicle, new or used, at Purefoy Chevrolet. That's what they sell. That's what they have, and they'll take care of it. Whether you're looking to buy a new truck, SUV, sedan, yeah, they still have those as well. You can find one at Purefoy Chevrolet. 303-659-8311 or find them online at purefoychevrolet.com.
You know, when I go into Purefoy Chevrolet, they don't give you that feel like they're there to take your money or they only care about the sale. They really, truly seem to care about me, and that means a lot to me. I've had the privilege of going into Purefoy Chevrolet to see Rolly's office. And when you see Rolly Purefoy and his family, and especially his father, because his dad was so involved in this business, you really get a sense of what it means for it to be a family. Then when you see customers come in, you also realize that they treat their customers the same way they would their family members. It was very clear that the customers come back again and again and again. There's kind of this real family feel of they want you to come in, be so pleased that you'll continue to come in and have a pleasant experience, and people that treat you like family, and you can't get better than that. So that really has stuck with me, and I think that's really something unique about Purefoy Chevrolet that means you should go there.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Still amazing to me how liberals believe really some of the, what do I want to say, propaganda that is put out by their party and some of what we just talked about. I've been texting back and forth with one of our liberal listeners today, even on that very subject, and point being the left, as far as I'm concerned, hates small business. You as a lefty can think all day long they promote it, but really they do nothing but try to tear it down. And the reason for that is because small business to the majority of business owners means freedom, and the left hates that. The left hates freedom, period. There's lack of control in a small business.
Well, a small business by its very nature is not organized labor.
That's right, and they hate that.
Yeah, because they only want organized labor so they can organize it for them.
That's right. I also got a text message from the same individual. You're going to laugh at this one, Andy.
Okay.
Please.
I need a good laugh.
Please contain yourself. Joe Biden COVID policies are working. Hospitalizations and deaths are starting to decrease.
Well, that's a funny thing. You got to warn me before you do something like
that. I just told you. That's the funniest thing I've heard all day. What has he done differently that wasn't there
nothing.
Prior?
Nothing.
Zero. Nada. Zilcho.
He is driving in a straight line on the exact same course charted out by
Trump administration put in before he ever came into office 2 weeks ago.
My God.
If you are really that dumb as to attribute what's going on now with COVID to Joe Biden, I really feel sorry for you.
Well, he's not that dumb. That's a talking point.
Oh, my word.
I mean, this is incredible. They take credit for everything they can. They blame everything and everybody else. Barack Obama spent 8 years blaming his economy on Bush, and then the next 4 years taking credit for Trump's economy.
Craig, you're up. What's going on, sir?
Hi, John. How are you?
Good, sir.
I'm glad to hear you're talking about the electric issue again. I was just thinking as I'm, you know, flying up the highway here coming from Castle Rock, you know, there's an art to restoring a car, rebuilding an engine, tuning an engine, tuning an exhaust note. The sound of an engine, whether it's a big block or a high revving, small displacement engine,
right?
All that is lost when you go full electric.
Very true. Very true.
And all those people that it's either a hobby or an occupation, that's all lost. And I think they're going to get a lot of pushback when they try to force it down our throats.
I hope you are correct. Although, keep this in mind. Glad you called, Craig, because keep this in mind also. And a few texters have reminded me of this, Dan Muir being one of them. Really, the ultimate goal for the left is they don't want any automobiles. If they could see them all go away, it would suit them just fine. Because keep in mind, all lefties want to control what you do. Agenda 21, live where you work, work where you live, don't go too far, use public transportation only. Let's not have you in a car going coast to coast because, again, that means freedom, which, by the way, I'll keep reminding everyone, they hate.
Well, don't you think that China wants to control its citizens?
Yes, they already do.
Okay. They still have the automobile there. They still have some freedom of movement. You know, they have what's called a social credit score.
Right.
So, you know, if you're an outstanding citizen, you've got, you know, pretty much freedom to move about. And as you would travel down a highway like I am right now, they have girders built across their equivalent of their freeways. And there are multiple cameras snapping snapshots of every single vehicle going down the road. They are tracking where you are going.
That's right.
You have freedom of movement, but you are still being tracked monitored.
Yeah, you 100%. You're correct, Craig. Not, by the way, not the freedom I want.
No, not at all.
And that's, again, folks, this is for all of you listening. I should have added a fifth agenda to what we were talking about earlier when Mark called in. But, you know, on top of all of that, yes, the ultimate goal is the left wants to either control where you're going or have you not go at all. And they can achieve that through electric vehicles and a grid. Because, you know, keep this in mind, Craig. You know, I know we could talk about this for hours. But, you know, with an electric vehicle, they really could even control when can you charge, how much can you charge, what's the mileage then you get out of that particular charge. On and on we go. They have so much more control over what you do when you have an electric vehicle versus a gasoline-powered vehicle. There is no comparison between the two.
Well, think about California when they had the fires. They would have to shut down the electrical grids because of fear of these high transmission power lines catching the forest or the grasslands because it's been so dry. So if they shut off all the electricity, how do you charge your car? You're stuck at home.
You don't.
You want to walk or ride your bike.
There are many, you know, infrastructure things that, by the way, the wealthy could do. This is not going to be for middle class America. I'll let you go too, Craig. I'll finish up real quick and do a break. But yeah, Craig's exactly right. And what I was going to get at is there are, you know, micro energy, sources, I guess you could say, solar panels and wind and so on, that you could put on individual homes and neighborhoods and so on. But again, this is not going to be for your lower middle class families in doing so. This is a middle class and even upper middle class thing that we're talking about. This isn't going to be for the average Joe. So again, this is a control from the left, plain and simple.
Oh, absolutely.
And they've got Mary Barra, which I believe is a lefty anyways, bought into it at GM, which I just don't understand. I mean, I do. I shouldn't say that. I do. She's not a car person. Mary's running a car company, but she's not a car person.
She's an activist. And also, don't be surprised if somehow, some way, she or people she knows will make a lot of money on this.
Yeah.
I don't know all her connections.
She already has, Andy. GM stock went up last week when she made the announcement. And you know darn good and well she owns stock.
Yeah.
So she already has.
Well, their stock goes up because it's a Biden administration. They know that anybody who goes electric is going to get lots of public money.
American National Insurance is next. Paul Leuenberger. Now, all of that being said, you got to have your car insured, your home insured. All of that can be done with Paul Leuenberger. He'd love to give you a free analysis. Just call him now. 303-662-0789.
Your home insurance should include the stuff inside your house, too. The personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger, with American National Insurance, remains one of very few agents who will sit down with you and ask specific, detailed questions, making sure that in a disaster, you will be made financially whole. After a fire, you won't only need a new place to live, you'll also need to replace your gun collection and your jewelry. In those situations, you don't want to work with an agent you found online. You want to talk to someone who knows you, someone who will take the initiative to call and see how you're doing. Even in less disastrous situations, such as accidentally dropping your wedding ring down the sink, the proper coverage with Paul will make you financially whole. Paul Leuenberger can't relieve the emotional loss of a family heirloom, but he will make sure that you can replace your possessions at their full financial value. Call 303-662-0789 for the coverage you expect.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, we finally got to Dan, Andy.
We did it.
Yep, he says, I'm going to give in. I'm going to put on multiple masks, a face shield, get in my car by myself, drive 55 or less in the left lane with my hazards on. Welcome to the new America, comrade. Good one, Dan. Good one.
Move to Boulder, Dan.
There you go. All right. That is it for hour number one. If you're listening to the replay, thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow for Health and Wellness Wednesday. Otherwise, hour two is next. Myself and Andy and Ms. Schneider will join us, and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on with Wall Street and the day traders. We'll be right back. Hour two is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.